Bibles this afternoon, and let's turn to Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. While you're finding your place, just want to again say thank you to Pastor Townsend for the opportunity to preach. It is a humbling responsibility to stand and open the Word of God, and thankful for it. Luke chapter 5, if you found your place in the Word of God, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This afternoon I'd like to bring a message that I've entitled, A Progression of Faith. A Progression of Faith. This message has been born out of what we have experienced. What we have seen the Lord do in our lives. What he has taught us over this past year and a half or so, especially. Many of you know that February of last year, 2017, our apartment building that we were living in caught fire and burned to the ground there in Siberia. At the time, we had no idea why. Why the Lord let it happen. We knew that he was in control. There was no doubt about that. There was no question. But we didn't see the purpose for which God allowed it. And over this past year or so, the Lord has continually been showing us what it means to walk by faith and trust him in every area of our lives. And as we're going to see here, the Lord takes us through a progression. As believers, he doesn't ask us to do something grand and big and impossible right up front. He takes us through a progression until he gets us to the point where he wants us, to where we're trusting him and walking by faith every day of our lives. And so this afternoon, I want to look at this through the illustration that we have here through the story of Simon and our Lord Jesus' interaction with him as he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. Here we see the progression that our Lord took Simon Peter through as he comes to him. We read of this account also in the Gospel of Matthew as well as the Gospel of Mark. Now, the wonderful thing about the Word of God is that it never contradicts itself. It always complements, especially when we read the Gospels. What one author didn't include, maybe another did, and it accents it, it complements, and we see a fuller picture. The detail that we read here in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, you don't find in the other accounts. But here Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and here Luke, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is allowed to give us a little bit more insight, a few more details of what exactly took place when Jesus called Simon Peter and James and John to follow him as his disciples. And so as we begin reading here, as we've read this passage, I want us to see, number one, from this passage, I want you to see a simple request. As we consider this progression of faith, we see, first off, a simple request. Notice what happened here. It says, it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, this is speaking of Jesus, he stood by the Lake of Gennesaret. Now, the Lake of Gennesaret and the Sea of Galilee is the same place. You'll see different names used at different places in the Gospels, but it is referring to the same place. It is the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is technically a lake, and so it's used interchangeably throughout the Gospels. But the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, Jesus is walking, and it says the people were pressing on him to hear the word of God. There was a throng, a multitude, many people pressing on Jesus to hear him, wanting to get close. And so Jesus is walking by the sea. He sees the fishermen. He sees two boats standing on the side of the lake. And he gets into one, which was Peter's, Simon, and Peter, as we know, he's one and the same person. Simon was his given name, and then when Jesus called him to be a disciple, he said, your name was now going to be Peter. So it is, I will use those names interchangeably throughout the message, but just so that we understand, it is referring to the same person, Simon and Peter. So he enters into one ship, Simon's, and he says, cast off a little ways, and Jesus sat down and taught the people from the ship. And so we see here, very simply, that Jesus gave Peter a simple request. He entered into the ship, and as the Bible says in verse 3, he says, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. That is a request. That is not a command, rather a request. Jesus entered into Peter's boat and asked him, would you cast out a little ways from the shore and let me teach from your boat? And Peter did. The Bible says he sat down, Jesus, and he taught the people out of the ship. Jesus asked Peter a simple thing. He asked Peter to simply let him use what he had. Jesus, in essence, asked Peter, will you let me use what you have and what's available right now? You see, the Lord is not going to ask us, go do this or go do something great for me, without first asking us, will you simply give me what you have? Will you give me what you have available right now? Your time, your possessions, your dreams, your desires. What do you have right now that you are holding on to? Will you give that to Jesus and let him take it and use it? Jesus asked Peter here, he said, can I take your boat? Will you launch out and let me use your boat? Peter was there. He had just pulled up from a long night of fishing, as we read later in the chapter. He'd been fishing all night. They were out of the boats. The boats were pulled up to the shore there. They were out washing their nets, preparing. Jesus' request, at most, might have been a little bit inconvenient for him. He was busy. He had had a hard night of fishing. He was ready to put it away, get some rest, and go fishing out again when the time was right. God asked, Jesus asked him, will you give me what you have? And yes, it was going to cost a little bit. A little bit of convenience, a little bit of time that Peter had, but Peter did it. As we see from the verse here, Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Peter allowed Jesus to take his ship and teach from it. God often starts in our lives asking us to do something that we're comfortable doing. Peter was a fisherman. He was a boatman. Didn't think twice about letting Jesus use it and just casting out. God works the same way in our lives. Many times, he lets us use what we have, what we are comfortable doing. He says, will you use that for my glory? Will you let me use what you have available, what you can do? God starts with something small. It may require a small sacrifice on our part to fulfill his request. But nevertheless, it's something that we feel reasonably sure that we can do for him. We just need to surrender and do it. So first off, we see here, number one, a simple request. Second, we see in verse 4, an unexpected command. An unexpected command. Verse 4 says, now when he had left speaking, so Jesus was done teaching the crowd, and then he turns to Simon. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now that word draught there simply means a great catch. Many fish. He said, Jesus was done. He said to Simon, okay, we're done. Go ahead and cast out and let's go get a great catch. An unexpected command. This undoubtedly was probably the furthest thing from Peter's mind. He had just been out fishing all night, as we'll read here in the next verse. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. They had spent a hard night's work. They had toiled. They had labored. This wasn't what was expected. But nevertheless, Jesus turned to him and said, okay, you've let me use what you have. You've given me what you have. Something that you feel comfortable doing. Now, will you let me take that and do something unexpected with it? We think about the request, and we'll emphasize this a little bit later on. From a human perspective, this was an illogical request. It didn't make any sense. From a human perspective and from a fisherman's perspective, specifically. Jesus' command here to cast out into the deep in the middle of the day with the sun beaming down on the lake, cast out into the deep for a great catch. It didn't make any sense from a human perspective. And as a seasoned fisherman, Peter knew that. But nevertheless, what Jesus is doing here is he is taking Peter from one step to the next and asking him, will you trust me? Will you exercise your faith? Will you let me accomplish what I want to accomplish in your life? Notice here that the results were not unexpected. Peter was a seasoned fisherman. He was used to hauling in a big catch. He was used to going out, filling those nets, filling the boat, bringing it back in. The results were not what was unexpected, but rather the method was. And what Jesus was asking Peter here and what he was trying to get Peter to see here was that now Jesus wanted him to get the same results, but he wanted Peter to do it his way. The Lord expects the same thing from us. Many times, I know for myself, I'm a planner. I like to plan things, have it figured out, know what needs to be done to reach a desired result. I plan it out, I figure it out, okay, this needs to be accomplished, so this needs to happen here, they need to work together here, and then this will happen. Well, that's good in some areas. But as a believer, we're not supposed to rely on our own wisdom or lean unto our own understanding, as the book of Proverbs says. It's not up to us to have every step of the way figured out so that we can do this for the Lord. Many times, God will simply ask us or command us, do this. And we see no human way possible how this can be accomplished. And what God wants us to do is trust Him for not just the result, but also the process up to that result. There may be a time in your life, maybe you've seen it before, maybe it's a time that will come in the future, when the Lord will ask you to do something that seems illogical or even impossible from a human perspective. For us, as many of you know, as I've shared, us transitioning from Vannevara to Newfoundland, Canada, to us seemed to make no sense from our perspective. Here we were settled in, even after the fire. We were perfectly content and happy to be there. We knew, because we knew that's where the Lord had us. We knew that in time He would reveal the purpose, why He allowed that to happen. We weren't questioning why. And we were settled there. That was home. We were looking forward to the next step that He had for us there. What was our next house going to be like? You know, were we going to get to build? Were we going to be able to find something, you know, that the Lord would provide? We were excited. Things were happening there in the community, in the ministry. We were making contacts. We were getting more integrated into the community with the activities through sports program that Elliot was participating in, through teaching English lessons in different ways. It seemed like the Lord was bringing contacts to us and just allowing us to be able to actually begin laying the groundwork for ministering and seeing a church planted there, church started there in the village of Vannevara. And so in our minds, this is all starting. We're just getting started here, and now the Lord's asking us to leave. Doesn't make sense to us, looking from our human perspective. But it didn't have to. That's the important thing. It doesn't have to. God may ask us to do something sometimes that others may look at and say, that's the craziest thing ever. But if God has asked us to do it, then we need to be willing to do it. No matter how unexpected or how seemingly improbable it may be. God takes us through this progression. Number one, we've seen a simple request. Secondly, an unexpected command. Am I willing to do it God's way, even though it may seem illogical or impossible? Thirdly, I want you to see from this passage here a proper attitude. So we've seen up to this point Jesus' interaction with Peter. The request, will you let me use your boat? Let me use what you have. The unexpected command, will you let me use what you have in a way that seems impossible, or to do something unexpected? And third, here we get some insight into Peter. We see a proper attitude. Verses 5 through 10, we read, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon." Thirdly, we see here a proper attitude. We see from Peter here, his humility. First and foremost, we see Peter's humility. Jesus has asked him, okay, can I use your boat to teach from? Sure, no problem. That's an easy one. Now he's asking him, or he's commanding him rather, launch out into the deep and let's get a big catch. Now here's where the test comes in. And we see a proper attitude as evidenced by Peter's humility first. See, he answers. He says, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. That may seem like an objection to what Jesus is asking him. I read that as an explanation from Peter of what they've done. Master, we've already done this. And we haven't done anything, and nothing happened. But, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. We see Peter's humility. Why? Because we think about it for a minute. In order to do what Jesus was commanding him to do, he had to give up several things. What did he have to give up? We think about it. Peter's a seasoned fisherman. This has been his life, his livelihood. He knows how to fish. He knows when to go out. He knows where to go. He knows all the techniques and the tricks of the trade and how to do it. So in essence, he has to give up everything that he thought he knew about fishing. All of his experience, everything that he knew, Jesus was asking him, set that aside and just trust me for this. Set that aside. What you know, your wisdom, your experience, set that aside and trust me. Peter's humility was evidenced by the fact that he had to lay aside everything that he knew about fishing. Every bit of his experience, undoubtedly every fiber in his body, contradicted the command that Jesus wanted him to do. His experience was the complete opposite. But we see his humility in the fact that he said, it doesn't matter. Jesus said it. I'm going to do it. But not only did he have to give up his experience and what he knew, but he also had to be willing to give up his reputation as a fisherman. You see, this event didn't happen in, if you excuse the phrase, it didn't happen in a fishbowl. Peter and Jesus were not the only ones standing here when this dialogue is taking place. Jesus had just finished preaching to a multitude of people on the shore of the Lake of Galilee. Those people were still around. They heard Jesus tell Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter wasn't the only one who knew that this is not the time you go fishing. Undoubtedly, many people around also knew. They knew who Peter was. They knew that he was a fisherman. They knew that he knew how to fish and where to go and when to do it. But Peter had to be willing to lay that aside. What people thought of him and his reputation. He had a choice to make. Which is more important? God's command or what people think of me? And he laid that aside. And we see his humility here. A proper attitude. See, obedience is based on one thing. It's based on the fact that God has spoken. One quick note here. We see in verse 5, Peter's answer, when he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see that word, word, that Peter says. The New Testament, as we know, was translated from the Greek language. It was written in Greek, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and was written in Greek. We have it translated to us in the King James Version in a very very accurate and a very good translation. It is the Word of God. When we study it, we can, however, see some nuances in some meaning when we look at the original text. The word, word, that we find in the New Testament often is the word logos. We have heard that many times, undoubtedly, and usually when it's referring to the Word of God or the words of God, that word, that Greek word is used, logos. And it's a specific word. It gives it specificity, meaning these particular words or this particular command. When Peter answers Jesus and he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net," he did not use the word logos. He used a different Greek word. He used the word rhema. You say, what's the difference? Rhema is not specific. It refers to the quality of speech or the fact that someone has spoken. So in other words, what Peter is telling Jesus, he's not saying, "Okay, Jesus, because you have commanded me to go out and drop my nets, I will do that." That would limit his obedience to that particular command. Rather, Peter is saying, by using the Greek word rhema, he is saying, "Jesus, the fact that you have spoken demands my obedience. Regardless of what the command may be, regardless of what it may be now or may be in the future, the very fact that God has spoken demands my obedience." And so we see Peter's humility as evidenced by his willingness to lay aside everything that he knew, his reputation, what people thought of him, but then also we see his humility because of his submission to the Word of God. "Whatever you want, Jesus, whatever you want from me, I will do it." And so we see not only Peter's humility, but we see his reverence in verses 8 through 10. When Simon Peter saw it, saw what? When he saw the great catch, so much that they couldn't haul it into one boat, they had to call their partners over, James and John. They filled one boat and the second boat so that they both began to sink. When Peter saw it, when he saw the miracle that God had performed, he fell down at Jesus' knees, verse 8, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. I bet there wasn't much that would surprise these seasoned fishermen who had grown up on the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, fishing for their livelihood. They've seen storms. They've weathered them. They've fished. They've caught. They've done this. Not much would surprise them. But here the Bible says they were astonished at what Jesus had done. Not just surprised, but so completely blown away with what Jesus had done. Simon Peter fell down on his knees and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What happened? When Peter saw this miracle, and he saw what Jesus had done, he recognized, number one, who he was before God. He realized that he was unworthy to be in his presence, because he realized that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, and he was a sinner before him. And as Peter goes through the rest of his life and the rest of his time here with Jesus, when Jesus was on the earth, he would see over and over again the power that Jesus had over sin, over death, and the ability to save a lost soul. And Peter realized, number one, who he was before God, but he also recognized who God was. Peter had just seen and experienced the power and the presence of God in a very real way there on the Sea of Galilee. Undoubtedly, immediately, Peter realized, "We just did the same thing all night and caught nothing. Jesus takes us out. His presence, his power, and we fill two boats to the sinking point." God may God may allow us in our lives. An opportunity to experience His presence and His power in such a real way with a single event, so that we realize, so that I realize who I am before God, and that without Him I can do nothing. And that single event God uses to lay the foundation for what He expects from you from that point forward. In my life, it was the fire. The pain and the hurt that was so real in my soul after that took place was something that I had never experienced before in my life. It was so real that I didn't even want to look at my Bible. I couldn't see where to turn to God to find comfort and help in that trial. I knew in my head that God had a purpose for it. I didn't question why. But nevertheless, there was a pain and a hole within that was very real. And I had to get to the point. The Lord brought me to a point there where He broke me. I remember I was in a hotel room in Krasnoyarsk. As after the fire, about a month, I had come down to pick up our vehicle from the mechanics to take it back up. I was in a hotel room one night. And the burden, the weight, and the hurt was so real. But all I could do was cry out to the Lord, God, I can't do this. I came to the end of myself at that point. And when I told the Lord, I can't do this. That's what God wanted all along. And at that moment, the burden and the weight and the hurt rolled away. And He began restoring my soul. It wasn't an instantaneous fix, but it started the healing process. And that night, I experienced the presence of God in a way, in such a real and tangible way that I can't even describe. But I knew that God was with me, that He was my Father. He was watching over me, and He was going to see me through. And the Lord used that event in my life personally
when I experienced his power and his presence to lay the groundwork and the foundation for each step that he's wanted me to take since then. And see, we see a proper attitude here, and Peter demonstrates it. Paul also demonstrated it. We see in the New Testament, the book of Philippians is a great place as well. Philippians chapter 3, we won't turn there as well. Galatians 2:20, a familiar verse that we know. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Many times we stop after that verse, but it goes on. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about me. And God wants us to get to that point in our lives where we realize it's nothing that I can do. Whether it's a hurt or a sorrow that we're dealing with, whether it's coming to God in repentance and asking him to save us from our sins, we have to get to that point where we say to God, I can't do it. You do it for me. And Peter demonstrates here humble obedience and humble reverence as we see the proper attitude. And then lastly, we see from this passage here, number 4, not only a simple request, not only an unexpected command and a proper attitude, but then number 4, we see a desired result. Verse 10, the last part of the verse there, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. As I was reading over this and preparing, the Lord showed me yet again something that I hadn't seen from this passage before. In the previous verses we've read, Jesus was interacting with Peter, Simon Peter. The dialogue was between them. Jesus went into Peter's boat, asked him to cast out. He sat down and preached from him, from his boat. Then he told Peter, launch out into the deep for a great catch. But here, we see that Peter experienced it, yes, the power and presence of God. But also it says, all that were with him, verse 9, and also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. In verse 11, they forsook all and followed him. The desired result is that they forsook all and followed Jesus. You see, the progression that God took, that Jesus took them through, was first, give me what you have. Will you let me use what you have? Next, will you let me use what you have in an unexpected way? And through that, Jesus demonstrated to them his power, his presence, who he was. They saw it and realized it. And it says, when they came to land, they forsook it all and followed Jesus. And we know from reading the other accounts in the Gospels in Matthew and Mark that Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This was the desired result that Jesus wanted from these men. To follow him in faith, trusting him each step of the way. See, Jesus did not lay out for them what would happen from this point on. He just said, from henceforth, from this day forward, you will be fishers of men. Follow me. Jesus did not come to them and say, follow me first. He said, give me what you have. Then let me use it in a miraculous way. And that laid the foundation. When they saw through that single act, through the miracle of catching the fish in the middle of the day, when it's not fishing time and it's not the best spot to fish, Jesus filled their boats. They realized, if Jesus can do this in my life at this one time, he can take care of me from this point on. That's the point that God wants us to get to as believers. Trusting him, as the song goes, whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. When God gives you an event in your life to demonstrate his miraculous power and the comfort of his presence, and he brings us to the place where we have experienced that and we see that God brought me through that, or God has done this for me, then he wants us to move to the next step and say, okay, Lord, you did this for me here at this one point in my life. Now I'm trusting you to do this for me every day of my life, every moment of my life from this point forward. I don't know where you are this morning in this progression of faith, as we've seen illustrated here. Maybe you've never come to the point, as in the very first point, where the simple request is made. Maybe you've never been to the point where you've just simply given God what you have. And not just what you have, but who you are. That's the first step. That step starts when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we realize that before him, I'm a sinner. There's nothing that I can do to save myself. And before a holy God, I realize that I am condemned for him because of my sin. And in surrender and in faith, I put my trust, I put my faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. That's the first step. Then as a believer, the next step is simply giving God what you have. Maybe you're at that point today where you've never made that surrender or that step in faith and said, Lord, what I have is yours. Who I am is yours. But then maybe you're at the point where you've done that. You've surrendered that. You've given that to the Lord. You're serving him. Maybe he's asking you to do something that you think might be a little bit impossible to us, or something that maybe doesn't quite make sense if you connect all the dots and plan it out. It just something doesn't add up, but God's asking you to do it. Take that step and trust him, not just for the result, but also for the process of achieving that result. Then maybe you're also, you've had something happen in your life, an event, or something has taken place where you've seen God's power work. You've experienced the comfort of his presence. You've seen what God can do in a miraculous way in one event in your life. Now God wants you to take that and make that the normal way of life. Where are you today? Wherever you are in this progression of faith, are you willing to take that next step? Are you willing to trust God, the God of the universe, who created all, who holds all together in the palm of his hand? Are you willing to trust him that next step that he wants you to take in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Before I pray, and with heads bowed and with eyes closed, I'm just simply going to ask you today, will you take that next step? Will you put your faith in God who's asking you to? In the God who loves you. In the God who cares for you. Will you trust Him and make that next step? The piano is simply going to begin to play just a few verses here. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, remain in your seats. The piano is just going to play a few stanzas of the hymn this afternoon. With heads bowed and with eyes closed.